This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Today is the second day of jury selection in the trial of reputed mobster James Whitey Bulger. 100 more people were added to the jury pool, bringing the total number of prospective jurors up to 775.
Judge Denise Casper also moved opening statements back by 2 days. They are now expected to begin next Wednesday.
And when this trial does get into full swing, key figures from Boston's old mob world will be among the witnesses expected to take the stand.
WBUR senior reporter David Boeri has been covering the Bulger story for 25 years, and he knows more about the people in this case than just about anyone. We talked with David a bit earlier, and we asked him to remind us first about Bulger's first gang, the Winter Hill Gang, and the origins of that name.
Winter Hill is a place in Somerville where Whitey Bulger doesn't come from. So he belonged to this loosely knit organization that was led by a guy named Howie Winter, who happened to have a place on Winter Hill. By 1980, Howie Winter was in jail. Bulger now was really in control of this loosely knit organization, and he moved away from Winter Hill to Boston, ultimately to South Boston. You know, the prosecutors call it the Bulger Group. I kind of like that. It's more to the point, although it does sound like an investment firm.
So, David, was it a gang, or was it a more organized operation like other organized crime families like the Patriarca family?
Yeah, it certainly was a gang. It wasn't as flamboyant as the mafia. They didn't have capos and capo regimes and capi de tutti capi. They were gangsters. And they were involved in typical activities, loan sharking, gambling, extortion, murders. It was a small gang, and at the core were Bulger, Flemmy, and to a lesser extent, Moderato.
Okay. So you mentioned Flemmy. He is, of course, Stephen the Rifleman Flemmy. Interestingly, that nickname didn't come from the street, but rather his military service. So how did Flemmy and Bulger first meet up?
In 1974, they got to know each other. By 1975, they were closer. 75 is when Bulger goes on the books as an FBI informant. Later on, Flemmy gets on the books as an FBI informant. The truth is, though, Flemmy had been an FBI informant going way back to the 60s.
But, David, we always hear about Whitey Bulger as, you know, the clear leader here, the center of the gang. What was Flemmy's relationship to Bulger? Where was he in the pecking order?
Flemmy was every bit the equal of Whitey Bulger. And, in fact, Flemmy had connections to the mafia, long connections. They made him essential to the job of informing on the mafia to the FBI. He knew far more. But Stephen Flemmy, a very, very capable guy, used to say, "I'd rather be a kingmaker than a king." Hmm. Now, here is his son talking about his father, Steve Flemmy.
"I think my father was the smart one. He had a phenomenal reputation with the mafia. He had a very close relationship. He'd been committing murders while Jimmy was incarcerated. I mean, he had more of a legend amongst the Italians, and who at the time were, you know, who were running the rackets here. And Bulger was kind of localized, but Stevie brought everybody together."
So the point to be made here is that, in fact, Stephen Flemmy was the most important informant the FBI ever had in Boston. He was the one that was providing the information.
Well, David, we've been talking about members of the gang, some of the more notorious ones. But, of course, there are victims in this story, too, 19 of them, particularly two women who Stephen Flemmy says or claims that Whitey Bulger killed.
Kevin Weeks, who was right-hand man to Whitey Bulger, said that Flemmy was largely responsible, in Weeks' mind, for what happened, because you weren't supposed to talk business to the women. And Flemmy had two women with whom he had talked about the business. One of them was his girlfriend, Debbie Davis, and she wanted to leave him at some point. Bulger said she knows too much and had to be eliminated. Deborah Hussey is the other woman involved. Hussey was the stepdaughter of Stephen Flemmy. From the time that she was a child, Flemmy raped her. She, understandably, was out of control as a teenager. She became a drug addict. She became a prostitute. And when she was arrested by Boston police, she started dropping names about my uncle, Michael Flemmy, who was a Boston cop, and my stepfather, who was a major league gangster. Whitey didn't like her. He said she had to go.
Those are two particularly terrible stories in this generations-long saga. So, David, obviously in this case, there's going to be many claims and counterclaims from a number of witnesses who are expected to take the stand. Let's talk about just a couple more before we have to go. John the Hitman Moderano. Who is this guy?
One of the most despicable people that arguably is living on the planet today. Murdered 20 people, described as somebody with a conscience of an insect. And that's by one of the investigators. He was the reliable hitman for Bulger. He killed because Bulger asked him to. He's testified before. He'll testify the same thing at this trial, that most of the murders that he committed were at the behest of Bulger. That's what you're going to get out of him. And the issue here, and Bulger is said to despise John Moderano, a huge issue here is that the government gave John Moderano a deal to beat all deals, 12 years combined for his admission to 20 murders.
And finally, there's Kevin Weeks. Now, he's one of the people who hasn't been accused of any murders, but he has firsthand knowledge about the Bulger story. You've actually spoken with him.
Several times. Kevin was involved in 5 murders. He was present for the murders. He buried the bodies. In some cases, he dug the bodies up and buried them elsewhere. No one has said, no one's accused him, no one has direct evidence that, in fact, he was directly responsible for killing anyone. He was there. He saw it all. He stood in a river of blood, and he is ready to testify as he has testified against John Connolly. Now he testifies against his surrogate father.
So he's ready to testify. How is he feeling about this?
The last line of Kevin Weeks' book, which was published a number of years ago, said, "I hope they never find him." And you're going to see in the trial why Kevin Weeks wrote that line. He didn't want him back. He doesn't want to go through with this. He will.
WBUR senior reporter David Boeri. David, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, tomorrow we'll hear from David about the key law enforcement figures in this case. And we should also note that there are 19 men and women who are really at the heart of the Bulger story. They are Whitey Bulger's alleged victims. David and WBUR have crafted a special interactive feature that tells their stories. That's at WBUR.org.